Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? I'm sure this kind of burst their bubble. Jesus said, Verily, truly, I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are, Jesus said, the beginning of sorrows. Ladies and gentlemen, by the grace of God, I want to preach in your hearing an adapted sermon, an adapted message, preached by Dr. Billy Graham many years ago, titled The Second Coming of Christ, and this is part 9. As we are still honoring God and giving glory to God and Jesus Christ, and at the same time remembering their servant, Billy Graham, by preaching an adaptation of one of his powerful evangelistic messages. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your stability, how you give us a firm foundation to stand on as believers in Christ. We also praise you, Holy Father God, and we thank you for the Billy Graham ministry and memory. We thank you, Lord, for how you used him and how you are still using his ministry around the world to proclaim the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his entire family who, as we all have, had had their struggles in life, but by the time of his death, his entire family has come full circle and is serving you. And the ministry goes on. Multiple ministries go on through how you helped this man to be faithful and to stay faithful to you and to the Word of God down through the years. And so many families have been touched by the gospel message preached by this your servant. And we thank you for giving us humble hearts and loving hearts and hearts to remember and appreciate your servants, your gifts to the world as we remember him through this adaptation of one of his messages. And none of us think for a minute that we can preach like him, but we can remember him in his words, that he spoke live to millions by your grace, by your might and power. And we don't mind remembering him because we know when we remember this, your servant, we remember you. Because as he said many times, and as he would say even now, it was all you. No man could have done what he did without you, Holy Father God, for it is not as you have told us very clearly, by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And so it is a joy to glorify your holy name and to lift up your holy name, Lord Jesus, as we also remember your servant, a feeble human being that you empowered to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ around the world with great energy, and bless all of the people who helped him, and of course, bless his family as well. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray that more souls will be saved and through this message, and more credit will go to you and to you, Lord Jesus, of course, and even to your servant, Billy Graham. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, there are so many things Dr. Billy Graham said. He said there are so many things we could talk about when we speak of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I like to ask this, he said. How will Christ come? And then he gives the answer from the Word of God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. And what I love about the Word of God and what I love about preaching, and especially everyday preaching, is that we are so bombarded by the world, by true news and fake news and everybody else's agenda and all of the craziness that's in the world today, and I'm adding this. For example, I was just informed that a woman, for some strange reason, drove onto a Little League baseball field and ran the bases with the car, basically. But she was there to harm somebody because she ended up killing a 68-year-old man. This is why, dear friends, we need to hear the gospel every day. We need to hear the Word of God every day because we are bombarded by such evil, such foolishness, and such stupidity each and every day. We need to hear the good news. It's not enough to watch the news and hear the news. And may God help you if that's all you do. And Billy Graham did not say this, but I will say it, if all you do is watch the news and look at the news, I feel sorry for you. Because they ought to call it bad news. We proclaim the good news. I like the Billy Graham organization's motto, always good news. And bless their hearts, they stick with that. And in my ministry, I may contrast the good news with the bad news more. No one will ever accuse me of preaching like our dear brother, whom we love, Joel Osteen. It's not, that's just too much good news. I mean, there's really no good news without the bad news. And the bad news is what I just told you. People are being driven by devils and demons. Parents are killing their wives, their husbands are killing their former wives, and wives are killing their husbands, killing their children over custody battles, jumping off of buildings, pushing little beautiful babies off of buildings, and then following the baby, jumping off the building herself. They have everything, these people. Rich. They have money. They have cars. They have houses. And the devil tricks them, gets them all caught up in divorces and messing with somebody else, and then custody battles. And they kill each other. Wipe out a whole family. Just the other day, a man killed his children that he had with his former wife, killed her boyfriend, and then killed himself. And the first thing she said was, he did this on purpose to leave me here to grieve and to hurt for the rest of my life. We're living in a crazy world. And so we thank God for the Billy Graham ministry. He being dead yet speaketh, always giving good news. Amen, somebody. Now his son, Billy Graham's son, Franklin, is a little bit more like me. He'll bring out some bad news and contrast it with the good news. And so that's good. He has a little prophetic flavor, and certainly Billy Graham's daughter, Ann Graham Lotz, is a prophetess. She would not call herself that, but she is a prophetess, sure enough. And they will talk about some things that Dr. Billy Graham did not talk about that much. He was focused on getting the good news of the gospel out. And we all should be, but we all have our calling. And but we all agree that we need to hear the good news as much as possible. We need to hear the gospel as much as possible. I'm reminded of a hymn, and I'm calling on my maestro to pull it up, and I may not sing it, but I might just share it with you. There's a line in it that says, those who know it best, they love to hear it like the rest. Something along those lines. But Dr. Graham went on to share with the people in that day so many years ago. He answered that question about how Christ will come by using the Word of God. And I always love preachers who let the Word of God speak for itself. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, Here's how the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. And you need to be reminded of this. Living in this sin-cursed world of stupidity and foolishness. Grown women going to a little league game and driving, running the bases with the car, trying to hit people. Are you kidding me? We'll have none of that in heaven. Can somebody say amen? We need to be delivered from that kind of demonic activity. Little kids trying and bless the old man's heart. 68 years old. Can you imagine living 68 years? And this is happening to old people all of the time. Can you imagine living 68? God promises you 70. You're almost there. And you have avoided being shot. You've avoided car accidents and everything. And somebody on a beautiful Saturday comes with a car on the baseball field, a little league baseball field, and runs you down while you are trying to save the little boys and kills you. Are you kidding me, people? And you want to live in a world like that and drink your little green tea and look at the news and say, tis, tis, that happened to them. That's sad. It would never happen to me. That's very foolish to think like that. You ought to be praying for these people. And so the Bible says, for the Lord himself, when the Lord comes back, he's not going to send anybody else. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. Can somebody say amen? And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Notice that Paul said we. Yeah, see, Paul just like all of us. We think we gonna be the ones alive when Jesus comes back. Paul said we. He expected to be alive when Jesus came back. He had no thought about being dead before when Jesus came back. And that's how most of us are. But some of us better prepare to go the other way. I told a preacher the other day, things are getting so bad now. There was a time he and I would kid and joke every time we would talk on the phone. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. And something hit me one night. Things were so getting so crazy in this world. I said, you know what, preacher? I'm gonna back off of that. I'm looking for the undertaker, but the undertaker be just fine. This world is getting so bad. The undertaker be just fine. I'm not gonna help the undertaker. But if I have to go through death, it's okay. Just tell everybody he doesn't want any pain. To use Beth Moore's little statement she made this past week, I'm a fraidy cat when it comes down to pain. I'm not a pain man. I said, well, you're big enough to take some pain. Yeah, I know that, but I don't like any pain. I don't like any pain. My wife will tell you, I don't like any pain. No. Just let me go in the night. And then you can call the undertaker. It's okay. But the Bible reads, ladies and gentlemen, very clearly, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And watch this, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen, Brother Billy Graham. I like it, brother. I like it. As you know, I had the joy and the privilege and the honor to be invited to be one of the 2,000 folk to go to the homegoing, the private homegoing on what I call Billy Graham Hill in Charlotte, North Carolina. Billy Graham, almost 100 years old, he went the way of the undertaker. Bless his heart. But he's in heaven. And it really doesn't... I would love to be here when the Lord comes back, but as long as I go to heaven, either way is fine with me. And I know I don't deserve it. And you don't deserve it. But God loves us in spite of ourselves. I don't understand it, but I thank God for it. Amen, somebody. So Dr. Billy Graham said, there is going to be a resurrection of all your friends who have died in Christ. Now, your friends who did not trust Christ, they're going to be in hell. And Dr. Graham says, your loved ones, your mother, your father, almost got his accent on that mother. You say, your mother and your father, he said, you say their bodies have disintegrated. Dr. Graham said, well, scientists have already discovered that no chemicals truly disappear. The same God that made us in the first place, amen, somebody, can certainly bring us together again. If they could put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Now, Billy Graham didn't say this. I'm bringing up Humpty Dumpty. You know, only black preachers would bring up Humpty Dumpty. I went to Borders, the historical Borders Church, Pastor Borders, down in downtown Dallas. Downtown Atlanta, I'm sorry, many years ago. And it wasn't Dr. Borders, it was a Sunday evening service. And the black preacher read back and preached a sermon titled, Can Humpty Dumpty Be Put Back Together? I said, all right now. Billy Graham would never preach anything like that. I don't think Billy Graham ever even mentioned Humpty Dumpty. Not only that, I don't think Billy Graham even thought about Humpty Dumpty since he was a little boy. But this preacher, educated preacher, I believe a Morehouse graduate, of course, and had his MDiv, he read back one Sunday evening and preached a message titled, Can They Put Humpty Dumpty Back Together Again, or something along those lines. My point is, if they can put Humpty Dumpty back together again, certainly God can put us back together again. We will not actually have the same literal body, Dr. Billy Graham said. It will be a spiritual body. A body like unto that of the Lord Jesus Christ after his resurrection. It's going to be a glorious time for those who are born again, those who are saved. And some of you are tired, and I'm adding this part. Some of you are weary. Some of you are depressed. You're not on fire for the Lord as you used to be. That's why every now and then you need to hear a message on the second coming of Christ. If that message does not convict you, if that message does not energize you again and revive you again, nothing else will. For Jesus is coming. You just read it. Jesus is coming back. You just heard it from the Word of God. You will be able to recognize your friends and your family members. So you better treat, listen to me very carefully, I'm adding this part. You better start treating everybody right, because you're going to see them again. Those of you who have mistreated your Christian brother, your Christian sister, even your family member, you better confess your sins, you better repent, you better get your heart right. Because if you're born again and they're born again, you're going to see them again. I don't know how God's going to deal with all of that. But I do know that God is a God of justice and a God of order. I've often wondered why God is going to have to wipe away tears in the end when we're already up in heaven. Some believe that he's going to have to wipe away tears because some wives are not going to make it, but some husbands are. Some husbands are not going to make it, but some wives are. Some mothers are going to make it, but some children are not. Some children are going to make it, and some mothers are not, and so forth. So God would have to wipe away. You talk about some crying. When you are looking through the crowds and you don't see your brother or your sister or your friend or your Ace Boon Coon. You know, Billy Graham didn't say that. That's me. It's gonna be a sad day when you know they went to hell. Because it's all gonna be more real then than it is now. But back to Dr. Billy Graham, he said, they will look the same, but it will be an eternal body, an eternal body. For so shall we ever be with the Lord. And some of you right now, you're still tied to this earth. Right now, your mind is on what you can do earthly, as I speak. You're more concerned about this temporary place called earth and what you can do right now and what you're going to do after you get in your mind out of this boring service. You want to do something more exciting. That's okay. Just understand eternity is going to be forever. Amen, somebody. Going to be an eternal body, Dr. Graham said. He said it will be a body that will never decay. Oh no. Like our bodies right now are decaying, falling apart. I was tripping on a commercial. It's the most disgusting commercial I've ever seen, or at least one of them. They have these men with these motionless faces. We have men today who are getting plastic surgery, and they were advertising Botox. And I look closely at the men's faces. They look so hard and motionless. They can't even express any emotion. They look plastic. They're advertising Botox. And they say, right in the commercial, there are some consequences. There are some bad things that can happen with this. Now, before you come and get this fake face, people are trying to keep their bodies from decaying, and one of the men who evidently had some Botox put in his face is fixed forever. He goes running, his body is moving, his face has no reaction to the wind or nothing. Are you kidding me? Men are getting this done today. Now, Dr. Billy Graham did not talk about it. He didn't see this commercial. I'm glad he didn't. It's disgusting. These must be, and Dr. Graham would not say this. And so don't you go out and say he said this. But they must be homosexuals getting Botox and stuff in their face. And they would say things like some of the side effects could be that your whole left side of your face might drop. They'll say that you might not be able to smile. Stuff like that. Your face may get stuck in one position. Are you kidding me? People trying to keep their bodies from decaying. I've never seen a man run like this man on this commercial. Face as hard as a rock. No kind of bounce or nothing. You jogging and nothing is bouncing on you. Everything else is bouncing on you, and everything is moving. And your face is just as hot. You might as well just take your face and put it on Mount Rushmore. It's amazing what people are doing, trying to keep their bodies from decaying. And I feel sorry for these men today. Let me tell you men something. Dr. Graham would never say this. Bless his heart. He would never say this. Lord have mercy. I feel sorry for young men today. I feel sorry for young men today looking at these Botox, plastic surgery, false behinds, false breasts, fake behinds, and somebody needs to get this sick story. There's a black lady who claims to be a doctor. They call her Dr. Butte. Now, Dr. Graham didn't know this lady. But while she does not have any business doing any plastic surgery, she's a dermatologist, they say. But for some reason, while she's got the patient knocked out, supposedly enhancing her behind parts, she does a warm-up dance before she does it, like an Indian dance. She does a crazy, crazy dance, shows the naked patient, and does a crazy dance. I mean, crazy. And not only is she dancing, this is in the surgery room. They got the surgery dress on, surgery mask on, and everything, and they're dancing. For what? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. The patient is out. But not only is she dancing, the person who is supposed to be assisting her is dancing all down to the ground, shaking her behind parts. Now, this is some sick mess, people. And she evidently temporarily lost her mind and posted the video online. And now she has 100 patients wanting to sue her. And you don't think the Lord is coming back soon? This is some crazy mess. And people are doing everything they can. I feel sorry for young men. Dr. Graham didn't say any of this. This video came out this week. Dr. Graham been in heaven for several months now. You say, preacher, how did you see it? Did you go online and look? No, it's on the news. I feel sorry for young men trying to get a wife today. Fake eyelashes. One lady this past week refused to move her mascara. That ought to scare you right there. And her eyelid got infected. She almost lost her sight. Fake eyelashes. Fake eyebrows. One lady put some eyebrows on her face and she looks like an owl. They're so thick. Now the color of their eyes, you can get that change. Get your eye color change. Not only change, you can get it into change into like an animal. It make you look like a cat or a dog and all kind of mess like this right here. Trying to keep their bodies from decaying. Not to mention fake breasts. Shoes that make you look much taller than what you are. When we met, you were 5'9". What happened? Oh, this is a casual day. I got my tennis shoes on. But I didn't have no idea you were 5'2". What? Wow. Ooh. What a change. Fake hair. Everybody trying to stay young, trying to keep their bodies from decaying. Botox. And I think the worst of them all, and Dr. Billy Graham would never mention this. He would never mention it. Bless his heart. It's fake behinds. Because eventually you're gonna find out what's going on. What's going on? That's how bad things are today. People are dying, they're still dying. But they're trying to delay the decay as much as possible. But our heavenly bodies, Dr. Graham said, will not decay. Amen, somebody. You will never have to go to the doctor to do anything with your body in heaven. Praise be to God. Dr. Graham said we will be rejoined with our loved ones, and those who are saved, and that's why you need to get busy leading your family members to the Lord. And if you're not going to do it, if they live in another town, you need to get in contact with a local Bible-believing church to witness to your family members if you want your family members to be in heaven. They must trust Christ as Savior. And the Bible says, and we shall ever be with the Lord. Dr. Graham said, I don't pretend to know all the details and events that surround the coming of Christ. I only know this, that he is coming. Amen, somebody. It provides hope for every one of us. We may be in a minority here and persecuted and picked on. We may be suffering here with all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. But the sufferings of the present time, Paul said, are not worthy, amen, somebody, to be compared to the glory that will be ours later. When I was a young Christian, man, that was one of my favorite verses. The suffering that we have to deal with down here cannot be and should not be compared to the glory up there. Dr. Graham said, do you know Christ? Are your sins forgiven? Have you been born again of the Spirit of God? Have you had this encounter with the living Christ? Have you come to Jesus just as you are? His coming could take place, his second coming could take place at any time. Dr. Graham said, I know some theologians who believe these signs have come to pass to the point that Jesus could come at any time. I have found that in talking about this subject to businessmen who have given up and men who are pessimistic about the world today, that the second coming brings a new light and a new interest to their eyes. They want to know about it. They're interested in it. And then Dr. Graham said, the Bible is filled with hope. It is filled with anticipation. It is filled with glory of the future. It is filled with the fact that this same Jesus shall so come in like manner one day. Allow me to show you how you can trust in this Jesus, our Lord and Savior today. So you can be ready when he comes, because he could come today. And that's a fact. And if he were to come today, would you be ready is the question. If not, get ready. Get ready. Get ready, in the words of another great preacher. And here's how you get ready. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Come just as you are, as the music plays, a song that Dr. Billy Graham was very familiar with, and he played in if not all of his crusades, or he had sung, if not all of his crusades, in all of his crusades, in most, just as I am. You can come to God just as you are. And so secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin, always. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of sin. Our bodies decay. No matter what we do to keep them from decaying, they decay. Eyesight is lost. Hearing is lost. Some of us lose our hair, or our hair turns gray. For some of us, our hair turns white. We're dying. And we're dying because sin is in us. We have a sinful nature. Our bodies will one day go to the grave. If we live long enough, our soul will go to heaven or hell. And that leads me to my third point. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven, but he wants you to go to heaven with him. And he makes it very clear that if you don't trust him as Savior, you're on your way to hell. For Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a sad place. Hell is a bad place. But I have some good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven to be with God throughout eternity. For Jesus Christ, the same one who preached on hell, preached on how to get to heaven. He said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you because you're in this world, "that he gave his only begotten Son," his name is Jesus Christ, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." Perish where? Perish in hell. But have everlasting life. Where? In heaven with God. Yes, it is as simple as that. You do not have to join a church to be saved. You do not have to get baptized to be saved. You do not have to shake the preacher's hand to be saved. And no, you don't have to do that very painful thing of standing up in front of a bunch of strangers and give your name and why you came and so forth. That is cruel. You don't have to do that. You don't have to stand up in church. You don't even have to walk the aisle, even though that's a good thing to do. All of these things are good. But you don't have to do that to be saved. You don't have to do good works to be saved. All you have to do to be saved is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid it all. He did it all. And all you have to do is look to him and trust him as your Savior, and he will save you. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again from the dead by the power of God for you and for me, so that we can live eternally. Just pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will. And I'll be glad to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. The Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, these are the verses that got me when someone showed them to me nearly 40 years ago. Verse 9 says that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you, shalt be saved. Saved, saved, saved from what? Saved from hell. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be saved, shall be saved. That's it, dear friends. It's not about joining a church. It's not about standing up in church and announcing something. It's not about good works. I know my pastor friends don't want me to say stuff like that, but it's true, and they know it's true. You can be saved right now, right where you are. I got saved in a dorm room. I didn't get saved in church. And you don't have to be in church to get saved. So if you're ready to trust Christ as Savior so that you can be ready to go back with him when he comes, believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ and pray. Follow me in prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments, such as taking your name in vain, such as lying and lying on others, such as stealing, such as coveting and lusting after other people that don't belong to me and other things that don't belong to me. Lord, I am guilty. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul and forgive me of all of my sins. And save my soul as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. That he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. And change my life. And fill me with your Holy Spirit. And help me to repent of my sins past. And to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is how I got saved. This is how Billy Graham got saved. This is how anybody got saved, if they got saved at all. Simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and praying and asking God to have mercy upon their souls and save them because of their faith in Christ. If you just trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to gospellightsociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. 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 There's that word again. And shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, which if the Lord tarries his coming, if he does not come back tonight, and he allows us to live in these decaying bodies one more day, that'll be tomorrow, and we'll be glad to see you. Until then, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.